This morning we come to our last message on the reading and preaching of the Word of the Lord. And having looked over the past number of weeks, first at the reading of God's Word, and then moving on to the preaching of God's Word, we've learned that it is the central task of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've looked at the why and the who and the how of preaching. But it's obvious to you when you come to church that there is more going on in preaching than preaching. Because indeed, there's only one person who is preaching. And everyone else in the congregation is hearing. But both preacher and hearer are engaged in this part of worship, actively in the worship of God. So yes, central to the public worship of God is preaching, but an aspect of that is your hearing. And that is of the utmost importance, first because you hear to the glory of God. And second, because it's the only way that you will properly profit from the Word of God. Our shorter catechism and larger catechism have a number of questions on this subject. In the shorter catechism, the first deals with how the word is made effectual unto salvation. And to summarize that, the answer is that the Spirit blesses the reading and preaching of God's word, in order that the word of God might become powerful in your experience. You are utterly dependent upon the sovereign work of God's Holy Spirit. But that does not mean that you are passive. Yes, the Spirit must work, but when you come to the worship of God, the Spirit works as you give yourself to actively hear. One seminary professor at the end of his course on preaching asked his students, on the back of everything that he'd taught them, about how to be a better preacher. Now, students, what is the secret of good preaching? And well, they thought back over their lectures and they offered various answers from what they'd been taught. And to all this, the professor answered, "The secret of good preaching in the end is good hearing." The secret of good preaching in the end is good hearing. Shorter Catechism, question and answer 90. How is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? Answer, that the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. So if you are not doing that as a congregation, the word will not be made effectual in your life unto initial salvation and ongoing salvation as Christians. That agrees with many texts in God's word. For example, Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The psalmist is actively doing something. He's taking the word of God and he's hiding it within his soul. James chapter 1, verse 25, a warning against forgetful hearing. The man who sees himself as in a mirror, and yet he goes away and forgets what manner of man he was. He hears God's word, he knows God is saying, there's this defect in your life, you're guilty of this sin, you need to amend this part of your life. He sees it all. And he walks out of church, and it's like he forgot that God ever showed him what kind of person he was. Another text that speaks very powerfully to this is Luke chapter 8, where our Lord Jesus Christ teaches his famous parable of the sower. The sower goes out to sow his seed, which falls upon four kinds of ground. Three of those kinds of ground represent those who do not hear the word of God properly. They all show forth some initial growth. But only the fourth ground, the good ground, is the hearer who hears aright. Now listen to how Jesus describes good hearing in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, listen, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So the ground is sovereignly prepared by God through the Holy Spirit. But they're actively hearing the word, keeping the word, and applying the word of God to their own life. Jesus then tells another associated parable in verse 16 and 17. The word is like a candle that is set upon a lampstand. You don't put something over it. You let it shine. And as God does that with his word, what's happening? Secret things are being revealed. Nothing is hidden. God is penetrating your soul. He's showing you all the dark recesses of your heart. And then Jesus warns, verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. In the light of these four categories of hearer, the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, the good ground hearer, in the light of this candlestick that's being lifted to you week after week in God's house, showing you all that's going on within your soul, how are you hearing God's word? This is a warning from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that you hear must bring forth fruit. The light that he shines must bring you from darkness unto light. And according to your privilege, so will be your responsibility. You either use it or you lose it. John Calvin comments, yet few hear well. Yet few hear well. In his own day, he lamented, out of 100 people, only 20, he estimated, were ready to offer obedience of faith to God's word. The others, he said, will hold it valueless, laugh, hiss, or loathe it. What would the proportion be in our congregation? Oh, I hope it's more than 20 out of 100 or a fifth of our congregation. But is there not a warning, not merely from Calvin, but from Jesus? Few hear well. Only one kind out of the four kinds of hearers? 25%? If you were wanting to do a fraction? Only one kind out of four kinds of hearers were hearing correctly to the benefit of their soul. This morning, therefore, we take up this theme of how you should hear God's word. First of all, you must take heed before you hear. You must take heed before you hear. In other words, hearing the word of God properly begins before you hear it, as much as rightly receiving the Lord's Supper begins before you partake of the Lord's Supper. You understand that God requires you to make preparation, examine yourself, and so on before you come to the table of the Lord. And here Jesus says, be careful, take heed. Take heed how you hear. Diligence is required in reading and hearing the word of God in private. Diligence is required in attending upon the public reading and preaching of the word of the Lord. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. And in anticipation of that, we prayerfully prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord. You must therefore prepare. Suppose you had an invitation to a royal banquet, or for the American sensitivity, a presidential banquet. The best quality of food is on offer. You're going to come to this table, and upon hearing that you have received the invitation, well, your heart might indeed skip a beat. You would begin to be nervous, and attendance at that function would very likely take priority in your thought. Even the men might go out to buy a new suit. The ladies certainly would go out, and they would buy new clothes. They'd get their hair cut and styled, and you'd play the day out in your mind, maybe practicing the etiquette, the way you might sometimes do, stand in front of the mirror and imagine you're having this conversation so that you might be prepared when the time comes. You'd make preparation, wouldn't you? Yet Lord's Day after Lord's Day, God, the King of all the earth, lays a table for you here in his congregation. And it seems, sadly, that we're programmed out of familiarity to underestimate the worth of that in comparison to other things. You are sitting at the king's table this morning. You are being served the finest quality of spiritual food. Now, granted, the chef can be a little bit inconsistent as he prepares that food for you. But it is the word of the Lord still. The week speeds by. The Lord's Day arrives. And far too many come habitually to God's house having made little or no preparation to hear the word of the Lord. Will you listen to the word of the Lord Jesus this morning when he says to you, "Take heed therefore how you hear, be careful." How can you make preparation? Well, in two ways. First of all, fill your minds with thoughts of the majesty of God. You are being invited to the table of the King. Who do I come to hear? If you come merely to hear a man, then your heart will be impressed only to that level. Now, there are different gifts in preachers, and therefore certain preachers are more popular than others. And if a particularly gifted preacher is in town, he becomes the Christian talk of the town, and many people want to come out and hear him. His name, maybe even his face, is put out in flyers and upon billboards, and people are saying, "This preacher's coming, let's go out to hear him." But it is God who is speaking to you in his congregation. Never mind the preacher. What is he but a clay pot? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, says Paul. What a profound preacher he was. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's God who speaks to you. The God of inexpressible glory who spoke unto Israel at Mount Sinai, and when they heard, they trembled. How can you prepare to hear God's word? Well, maybe just think about that. Pause in preparation to consider who it is who speaks to you, and it will be an antidote to the lethargy that you struggle with when you come to hear God's word. Fill your minds with thoughts of the majesty of God, but take time to exclude other thoughts, and take time to stir up spiritual desires. You all have busy lives, that's true of men in all ages, but modern life is particularly cluttered, and therefore many things legitimately call for your attention during the week. God gives you space and time for for those things. And he doesn't want you to neglect those things that are necessary in your life. But in that he gives you 6 days for them, God also kindly and graciously gives you 1 day that you can come aside and sit and hear his voice. You know, it is a tragic thing that Christians see coming to church merely as a duty. It's like, oh, the Lord's Day has come again. I do church. We're not particularly looking forward to it coming, but we're quite excited about it ending. We're like the people in the days of Malachi. What a weariness is it to me. And yet, do you not understand today? God has given you such a glorious privilege to stop and put all these other things out of your mind. But that's what you have to do. You have to silence all of these other voices consciously in order that you might be prepared to hear his voice profitably. Or as Paul says, we are to set our affections upon things above. That's not going to happen simply by jumping into your car after rolling out of bed late on a Sunday morning, driving to church, sitting down, and you haven't even given one thought to this. And then you wonder why you sit bored in church and you leave church and you can't remember anything that was said and you don't profit from it during the week. Because you haven't actively taken your mind off the things of the world and set them upon the things of God. Remember that one of the hearers in Luke chapter 8 was the thorny ground hearer. What was it that caused him not to profit from the world, the word? It was all the cares of this life, wasn't it? Legitimate things, brethren. And yet the word made a momentary impact, maybe as it was preached. And yet off they go into life, and all of these thoughts that hadn't been put out just strangle the life out of the good seed of the word. You need to take time before church to put these cares out. Maybe as you've sat here already today, you've been battling with these things. What kind of things are competing against God's word in your mind and heart today? Even now as you sit and listen to it, what is competing with the preaching of God's word? Well, one of the reasons that you're having this competition, not the only reason, we all struggle with it, but one of the reasons is you haven't taken time to prepare to put these things out and to actively set your affections on things above. You must take heed before you hear. You must prepare. But then also hear, you must pray. Part of this general preparation will be prayer. Now in our service structure, we have prayer before the word of the Lord. And you will hear regularly prayer being offered, and you are engaging with it, that the Lord would indeed prepare our hearts and give us light as we hear his word. We have a midweek prayer meeting, and an element of that is that the Lord might keep our minds on track during the week, and especially ask him that we might profit as a congregation week after week in the preaching of God's word. But our prayer is not limited to that midweek meeting and our prayer before the sermon in the house of God. That prayer is relevant to your family. Robert Burns, the Scottish poet, has a lovely poem on the cotter's Saturday night. Poor farmer, tenant farmer, he works all week. And the picture is of this man coming back with his beast and his plough on a Saturday night. His children meet him at the door of his little cottage. They go in for a very simple meal of soup before which he thanks God for God's provision. And after the meal, he gathers his little family round and he prays. And they sing psalms to tunes, Burns notes, of Dundee and martyrs. And then they read a suitable section of God's word, and then they pray to God. Why the Saturday night? Well, the emphasis, of course, is it's the eve of the Sabbath. And this congregation is recognizing that that is the principal day around which every other day of the week revolves, when they will go to hear God's word. Burns was an ungodly man, but yet he noticed this in the life of the pious in Scotland. You need to pray for yourselves in recognition that you need instruction and light, in acknowledgement that the truth of the Lord is spiritually discerned. If it is to be made powerful in your experience, then, Lord, give me light. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your law. Then you will recognize that you have individual concerns that you need God to address in his word. Lord, speak to me concerning this. You know I need light in this area. You know I'm struggling with this temptation. Lord, I come to you in that need, and I beg you that through the ministry of your word today, you'll give me a word in season. Does that sound relevant to you in your life? Is that something that maybe you've done last night and this morning before you've come to God's house? Pray for yourself. And then you pray for the preacher, because you recognize that the Spirit blesses the reading, but especially the preaching of God's word. And having learned the importance of that over these past few weeks, why we preach and how God's word is to be preached, will you not come before God and pray that the preacher might know help to preach in that way? This series has not been simply to inform your mind about what good preaching looks like. It's been to transform our experience of it as a congregation. So you come to the Lord and you pray, give the preacher understanding as he studies the text. Give him clarity as he explains the text. Give him boldness, unction, and liberty to vigorously apply this text to my heart, because I know that that is what my soul needs. Whatever gifts he may or may not have, I am not going to trust in them. But like Paul, who comes to the church, preachers ought to come to their congregation saying, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to speak this word of the living God. Pray for yourself. Pray for your preacher. You need to take heed before you hear God's word. So maybe God's putting his finger on something in your life this morning. You need to address that. Secondly, you must hear or take heed while you hear. Everything that we've said up to this point happens before you even enter the door of the church. But now you come to church, and the word is being sung and read and preached. How are you going to hear? Jesus says, be careful. Take heed how you hear. Now, I want to emphasize that to you this morning with respect to a particular problem of the 21st century. There are people, and an increasing number, who sit under God's word so carelessly and even defiantly that they fall under the censure of this text of Scripture. You see these things? These things are wonderful tools when used correctly. This sermon is being recorded on this phone presently in order to go on sermon audio, and I trust to be a blessing to others who hear it. But these things can also be a terrible distraction. Now, I know some of you use them. And I know that some of you use them to profit. You take your sermon notes on them, you have your psalters on them, you have your Bibles on them. But you also have the whole of your life on them. And you also have access to anything you want on them. And so, a common problem in our churches today, a pastoral problem, is that when the Word of God is being preached, because these things are not switched off properly, the Word is competing with email notifications, Instagram updates, online games, while the Word of God is being preached. I know this from personal experience. I've been recording the word of the Lord as I've preached it, and the phone has been going off. Somebody's been calling me, and it's flashing in front of me. You have to learn to switch the thing off, because right then, something is competing with the voice of the living God. In how many churches is disregard being shown for the preaching of the Word of God? In how many churches is the Word of the Lord being taken in vain? Because while it's being preached, people are surfing. That's huge, okay? That's huge. If it's happening here, I can't see it. You're not offending me. I don't know what you're doing on the phone. But you're going to have to deal with that one with the Lord. Take heed how you hear. Is it not applicable? How are you going to hear? Well, the shorter answer is you're going to hear actively, not passively. You're going to come as a gleaner and a gatherer, not as a sponge or like one of those pen drives. You know, sometimes I think that's how we come to hear God's word. We think we're one of those little pen drives. We're just going to plug it into the sermon and everything's going to download, and then you're going to somehow take it home. It's not going to happen like that. You have to come to actively hear God's word. I'm going to follow the outline of the catechism here that suggests three things about actively hearing God's word. The first is you must be believing hearers. You must receive it with faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please God, and likewise without faith it is impossible to profit from his word. We've been in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4 of late thinking about preaching. And in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, "From a child you have known the holy scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation." But he adds this, doesn't he? "Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." So you have the word, Timothy, and the word is power. It is able to make you wise unto salvation, but not without faith, Timothy. Therefore, when you come to hear God's word, it requires the activity of faith in order to receive it properly. The word of the Lord is preached. As you hear it, you receive it all as the word of God. You say to yourself, even in the preaching of God's word, because sometimes you struggle, you say, "This is God's word, I'm going to believe it." Over against my doubts or over against the criticisms that the world might level against it, I'm going to believe all of its history. I'm going to believe all of its prophecy. I'm going to believe every threat that God makes in it. And I'm going to believe every promise that God makes in it. And I'm going to believe the whole of the world word as it reveals Jesus Christ unto my soul. that's not simply going to be automatic. Like you sit down and suddenly, hey, I'm believing God's word. That's part of your Christian ongoing spiritual struggle. You need to actively believe it and receive it as true and trust in it. Otherwise, it will not be to your profit. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The gospel is preached unto us as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them who heard it. So the problem was that they didn't hear it. The problem wasn't that the preacher wasn't clear enough. The problem was they heard it, but they didn't believe it. How many times have you heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to no profit because upon hearing it, you've consistently refused to believe it? Therefore, the word is not being made effectual in your experience. You know the Holy Scriptures. Maybe even from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Able to make you wise unto salvation. But week after week, you've responded in unbelief. It afflicts us as Christians as well. You hear the same gospel constantly in the Church of Christ, but too often it's competing with all of these other voices. My problems are too big. And so you don't receive the word of God by faith. And you don't receive the comfort that God holds out to you in his word. Then you fail to walk by faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of the Lord. So daydreaming through sermons isn't going to help you, or worrying about all the things that afflict your life when you're supposed to be worshiping God. That's not going to help you profit from his word. He gives you his word repeatedly because you need it constantly, and you have to actively lay hold of it by faith, and then the word feeds that faith, and then faith lays hold of the word in order that faith might be continually strengthened. You know that, I think, in your own Christian experience, don't you? So that's the first thing that you ought to be doing, actively receiving the word by faith. Secondly, you must be loving hearers. You must be loving hearers. Because it's one thing to hear the word of the Lord, another thing to believe it, but that belief must be accompanied and verified by a loving embrace of the truth. It's possible that you come to church and you hear the word of the Lord and in some sense you believe it. You may say, I believe every word that I've heard this morning. But you hate what you hear. You know, the Pharisees had the wonderful privilege of hearing Jesus Christ preach in the flesh, and they hated every word that he spoke. Is that not a warning to us this morning? They heard. Sometimes they believed because they were confronted with the miraculous confirmation of it. And then they had to run off into a dark corner and talk themselves out of that belief. But they hated God's word. On the contrary, the Christian is marked by a love of the truth. Psalm 119, verse 67. Just one example of many that you could draw out of this psalm. Verse 167. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Is that your experience of God's word? That you esteem all of his precepts concerning all things to be right, and you hate every false way. that you long in your soul for the Word of God more than for your necessary food. That Word is a treasure to you, more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And as that Word is brought to apply to all areas of your life, you see it as true, you receive it as true, and you love it. Not just the bits that are convenient for you. You know, ungodly people like some bits of the Word of God, but they don't love His truth. Do you love the bits of the Word of God that wound you as much as you love those bits of the Word of God that heal you? If you've been convicted in your heart and you've struggled this morning over certain aspects of this Word, do you love that? Do you say within your soul, this is good. This is good for my soul. That when God commands me, I love His commandments. When God promises glory and all these things pertaining to my salvation, I love those as well. You must be believing hearers. You must be loving hearers. But then thirdly here, you must be submissive hearers. James chapter 1 verse 21. We are to receive the word with meekness. Receive the word with meekness. That means we are to be willing and ready to receive whatever God says unto our soul. So you believe the word. There's an affectionate embrace of that word. And when you hear it, you submit. You submit to everything that it requires. Now we're talking about actively hearing God's word. So we're speaking here of something more than simply nodding your head or grunting as we do, or sometimes saying amen when the word of the Lord is preached. It's certainly more than saying amen where we see how the word of God applies to the person beside you. We're good at that as well. Well, that was a word for him this morning. Or that was a word for her this morning. Well, indeed it was, but it's a word for you this morning too. When it cuts across your pride, do you find your own heart kicking like an untamed rodeo horse? Or do you find it quietly submitting to whatever the Lord says unto your soul? When your desire and your authority is challenged, do you say, let it be so, this is the word of the King? When the word cuts and wounds you, do you say, thank you, Lord, this is good for my soul? When God shows you your sin, do you humble your heart before Him? When it exposes your foolishness, do you say, I have no wisdom, Lord, but you are the fountain of all wisdom? Or do you say, no, I'm wiser than you, Lord, my way is best, and you avoid the power of God's word by maybe dismissing the preacher? Do you say yes to God and no to self, even when it is immensely difficult? If you don't, you're not profiting from God's word. You're not being built up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. You're hardening your heart against the Lord. And God says, to him who hath shall be given, to him who hath not shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. Therefore, you're to take heed before you hear. Then you're to take heed while you hear. Thirdly, you're to take heed after you hear. This could be the part that we actually feel at most. You know, you pray before you come to church. You sit in church and you feel the effect of God's word and you want to respond to it correctly. And then you get up from your seat and you leave into your life again. and you fail at the point of application. Now, we shun entertainment worship. We're a conservative, reformed church. But yet, are we free from entertainment worship in our reformed churches? Because we love good preaching, don't we? But why do we love good preaching? Because good preaching can be reformed entertainment. What do we do with the word that we hear? Could it be that reformed congregations and those within them are too much like those who in the days of Ezekiel loved to hear the prophet preach? And if you heard some of the things that they were saying as a preacher, you'd be greatly encouraged. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear, what is the word of the Lord that cometh forth from the Lord? And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them." These are men in Israel who would say, Ezekiel is a great preacher. Let's go and hear the word of the Lord at the mouth of Ezekiel. And as Ezekiel preached, they enjoy it. It's like a beautiful song. It's like one who's skillful to play on an instrument. But Ezekiel, they hear your word and they walk away unchanged. They will not do it or perform it in their lives. Hence, our catechism tells us that we are to lay the word of God up in our hearts and to practice it in our lives. So you must take heed after you hear by laying up the word in your hearts. Again, like the psalmist, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Puritan Thomas Vincent says, "You are to make your heart a storehouse of this heavenly treasure." So here we are in the field of preaching, and we're actively gathering up the good seed of God's word in order that we might take it into the storehouse of our heart to do something with it, to retain it by meditation, to go over it in our minds, or to change the illustration, we need to get beyond the sermon tasting experience. You know, like the wine taster, some people are in these clubs and they go and they have their meats and there are a variety of bottles put out on the table and they take a little sip of it and they swirl it around in their mouth and then a guy comes around with a bucket and they all spit it into the bucket. That's how Reformed Christians listen to sermons too often. Oh, they taste it. Oh, it's a fine vintage. That was a good sermon. They swirl it around in their mouth. Where's the bucket? They spit it out. Then they go on to the next wonderful sermon. But there's never any change, because they haven't taken heed after they've heard. Brethren, meditate upon God's word. Go over it personally and private in your mind and heart. You complain, as I do, well, my memory is not so good. Especially as you get older. Well, then you need to work harder. You should have more time as well. But take the word of God and turn it over in your mind, because the truth is that our diligence in meditation is actually worse than our memories. But then discuss the word of God. Take heed after you hear. When you go out to have lunch today, you have a wonderful opportunity given to you to talk about the word of God together, then to go home and discuss it with your wife and children, And as you do that, you'll find it's a great aid to memorizing what you've heard and also confirming one another in the truth. And then you know that you've spoken about that point with that brother. You're able to follow up. You can hold each other to account to that word. You must lay it up in your hearts. And then you must practice it in your life. Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." That's like the psalmist saying, I take your word and hide it so that I can erect a spiritual shield, that when temptation comes, I'm able to resist it by the power of God's word. Or to state it positively, James says, don't be a forgetful hearer. You're like the man who sees yourself in a mirror and then you forget what kind of person you are. You don't do that in your natural life, do you? You don't appear here in church the way you looked when you rolled out of bed this morning. Your hair all over the place. Maybe if you had a bit of makeup on, some eyeliner running down your face. Maybe after you've eaten your dinner, children, you've got half of it all around your face. It's not there now. Now, suppose you went and looked at yourself in the mirror and your hair's all over the place. There's food all over your face. There's something hanging out of your nose. And then you just walk down the stairs and out into your day. You don't do it. But you do it with the word of God. That's James's point. You do it with the word of God. God shows you how disordered your life is, but you don't do anything about it. Brethren, when God tells you to do something, do it. If he tells you to stop something, stop it. If he requires you to defend some point of truth, defend it. If he requires you to go on the offensive and stand up for him in some area of life, take the field. And I beg you, start today. And as you do this, you use what God has given you, and Jesus says, God will give you even more. But if you don't, if you don't take heed how you hear, God is going to take it away from you. That explains why so many people can sit under such faithful preaching and they seem to go absolutely nowhere, because they're not doing anything with what God has given them. So are you hearing God's word this morning? Yes, you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit, but you have to be active before you hear, while you hear, and after you hear. So that the real secret to good preaching in our church, after the preacher has done everything that God requires him to do, the real secret is your good hearing. Otherwise, you will profit nothing. Let's stand for prayer.